Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 474, show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Kurt Soderquist from PC Doctor. Welcome to the show, Kurt.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you. Now, why don't we go ahead and start off and basically give us a background of how you got started in computer repair, how you came up with the name PC Doctor, and kind of where your business is going today.
Okay. So my first interest in computers is when I was a kid. I was probably 12 years old. And I had an Apple IIe.
Oh.
So that was just a monster of a machine.
Classic. Classic.
So through time, I started getting more and more interested in computers. I think my first one was the old slot A type, AMD K62, I believe.
Okay.
I had like 256 megabytes of RAM, and they had a 64 megabyte monster voodoo card playing EverQuest, things like that. So that's when I really started getting interested in it. That's before, broadband came in, everything was on dial-up and all the fun joys of that.
Oh, yeah.
So as I went along, I got more and more interested. I had friends that were into computers, and they started teaching me how to do things. And I would just kind of learn on my own a little bit. And if I got into trouble, I'd fall back on them. So as the years went by and I learned more and more, I started doing more for folks at places I worked for. You know, I was a CNC machinist beforehand. I did that for about 7 years, and I was helping to write code and things like that, make adjustments for the machine.
Okay.
But it tears, you know, it does the wear and tear on your hands. So I've always wanted to do something with computers. Of course, you know, most businesses will not hire you because they want something that has to do that you went to school, you had a degree, you have something like that.
Right.
And all I had for me was, hey, I worked on my mom and dad's computer, I worked on my friends and coworkers and so forth. So I've learned a lot through the years. I did go to college online for a year. I did get my degree for computer science. And at that time, I was lucky because I didn't have to worry about learning any kind of C++ code like they're doing with most colleges now.
Okay.
So that was kind of nice. So when I really started getting into working for a business, there's one that's called, well, I don't know if it's around anymore, but it was Geeks to You. And I worked for them for about 6 months, and that was basically all contract. You don't make a lot of money when it was based on contract. So you basically had to scrap for work at the time. And it's in a town called Mankato, which is about an hour and 20 minutes from here. And that's where I really started to cut my teeth, when I was doing the business. And I had met a great guy in there. His name was Wes Gilbert, and him and I have stayed in contact, and he kind of broke away, started his own business. When it got down towards the end of 6 months, and the owner, that ran the place, him and I didn't really see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. Mainly because some of the practices that he did, I didn't really approve of. They weren't what you would want to call, legal or whatever you want to say.
But okay.
I wasn't happy with it. So I started looking for another job, and I saw one in Albert Lee. It was posted through Craigslist, and it was through a gentleman by the name of Josh Wagner. And he's the one that originally owned PC Doctor. And he had it for like 8 years prior to that when he started it here in Albert Lee. I started working for him part-time, so I was driving an hour over and an hour back from Fairmont to Albert Lee. 3-4 days out of the week, working part-time, only getting 20 hours a week. At that time, he was swamped, and that's when spyware and viruses were rampant 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I come in, I do all the cleaning of the machines. He loved how I did it because it was a little bit different versus what him and the other technician that worked there at the time did. He was really happy with it. And after about 3 months, he offered me a full-time job. And then I moved over to Albert Lee and started working for him full-time. I was with him for about a year. And then he sold the business. to a company called Pantheon Computers, which is out of Waseca, which is about 40 minutes north of here. And the gentleman's name is John Stegman. He owns the company. And right away, when the other guys left, he kept me on. And then all of a sudden, I was the man in charge. So I'm a one-man shop. I run everything here myself. I do all my billing. I do all the work. I take care of the small businesses. I take care of all the residential folks here. Pantheon, that owns this company, takes care of all the medium to large businesses. They basically have the work where they're dealing with contracts.
Okay.
So John has been a really great boss to me. He's been teaching me a lot about the business. And hopefully, as this year passes by and we go into the next year, hopefully by January 2018, him and I are working things out where I will buy PC Doctor from him and I will take over the small business and I will take over the residential. So that's the main goal right now.
Nice. Wow, that is a great story. I'll tell you what, that's not something you hear often where you kind of start at the, well, I mean, a lot of times you start at the bottom, right? But yep. The reality is being able to work with other people in other businesses and they're actually pulling you up and saying, hey, you can do this too. You know, you don't get a whole lot of that anymore.
Right.
So that's great. So now would this be considered like an arm of Pantheon Computers or is it like a franchise or just, he just acquired it from this other gentleman just to kind of expand? Okay.
Yep. Yep. It's just, you know, it was a way of trying to get the Pantheon name over here into this area because he was looking to grow.
Okay.
And that was the big way for him to grow, was to get in here. The gentleman that owned it prior was trying to help people switch over to go from him to Pantheon to introduce them to him and so on and so forth. And then he left a little bit earlier and got out. He just got burned out. There were times where he would just, he'd go to bed and some company would call him at midnight and he'd get up and he'd go do it. He'd go take care of it. So he never really took a break. He would run himself down to the point where he'd start getting sick. And it just didn't do him any good. And eventually he just kind of just burned out. He wanted to get out of the business. He wanted to do something different. That's when he decided to sell. So that was one lesson I learned, was not to run myself ragged, not to keep working over hours that I shouldn't work, you know, work 9 to 5:30. After that point, I'm done. You know, I shut off my phone or whatever it is. And it's just time for family, and it's time to relax at home. So,
yeah, it's funny in this business. A lot of people, whether they're just starting out or they've been doing this for a while, they will look at this business as I've got to be on 24/7. Mm-hmm. Emergencies are left and right, and I've got to put out the fire whenever the fire is there. Reality is, we're not really firemen or firewomen. Right. We are there to solve problems and to fix the problems in a reasonable amount of time. And
right.
That doesn't mean getting up necessarily in the middle of the night, unless that's what your SLA or service level agreement says you will do, which I don't really, in my opinion, in most cases, there are no emergencies. For a handful of businesses out there, and people will argue with me every day about it, but the reality is most emergencies are not real, and there's only a handful of companies out there that there are real emergencies when they can't get into whatever the software that they're using that runs their business on a day-to-day basis. The only ones I can think of would be maybe a law office or insurance people, stuff like that. So,
right.
Now, even with that being said, I still know insurance companies can still go back to, they have a number to call with the information and somebody else can get them the quote that they need. So, that's probably not even a great example. There are workarounds for everything.
right. Because most of them are tied into some sort of corporate business or something.
Yes.
So they're going to be able to way to get that information out as much as possible without having to be just a small locally owned company, you know? So.
Exactly. So now what types of, now you said you started off, you said a couple of things that got me going because EverQuest was one of the games that I played for a very long time. And I can remember being there till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and having to get up in an hour.
Ruins marriages than EverQuest.
It was horrible. I still remember this is a side story. We were sitting and taking on this, some sort of monster. I can't remember what it was. And we were repairing ourselves. So we were kind of sitting on the beach in the game and I'm sitting there, we've got the vocals going on, I'm talking to my buddies and stuff like that. All of a sudden, my buddy's not saying nothing. And he basically was sitting at his computer fast asleep while he was regenerating.
That sounds like me. That sounded like me. I don't know where it was at. We're like in the giant fort, some giant fort somewhere in Frontier Mountains, if I remember correctly. It's been so long.
Okay.
And my friends are sitting there and they're shouting at me and they're typing on the keyboard and they're hitting the buttons that make noise. It's supposed to beep at you or something. I'm just drooling all over the keyboard. I didn't hear nothing. They just left me there. So,
oh, good times. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it is.
So now what types of things do you work on in your business? Now, obviously you talked about, you got started with virus removals and stuff like that, hardware, software, all the above.
Right. Right. So, you know, nowadays, like I've heard you talk many a times, you don't see a lot of viruses anymore. Now, you know, you got these guys that call you, cold call you, or you see a website that tells you there's something wrong with the computer and call the 1-888 number.
Right.
So I don't see a lot for that kind of stuff. I'll see like the basic malware, which is the stuff that pops up and it tells you there's something wrong with the computer. And if you buy this product, they'll be able to fix it for you. So on and so forth, you know, and everyone's like, well, you know, I did this and I bought that and, you know, I didn't fix a problem. I'm just, you know, in the back of my head, I'm just like, oh man, nope, that's not what you want to do. This is what you got to do. You know, and then I kind of lay it on to them straight. And my clients are pretty good with me. You know, most of them I've really gotten to know. Some of them are really friendly with me. Others are just flat out just business talk and that's it. But there's a lot of folks that will come in here and it's rare that I ever take a day off. I work Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, I put a half day in, I'm done. And then I have Sunday off and Sunday is my day to relax or get stuff done around home. But there's a lot of folks, you know, if I have to take time off, which is rare, we'll have one of the other guys from Pantheon that will come down from Seek and fill in for me. And there are some folks that are so tied that one technician that they'll walk in, they'll say, hey, is Kurt here? And they're like, nope, he's gone for the, they're like, no, all right, I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh.
And they just turn around and weep, you know?
So. Wow. Well, that's a good and bad problem to have at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It is. But so people get, you know, that's how people are. Cause I got a friend of mine down in Iowa that's about a couple hours away from me. And he has a computer shop he bought from his uncle and they're the same way with him, you know? So now it's just him as a technician instead of other people. But it's interesting how certain people only want one type of person to work on the computer and not have someone else because they're not sure about that person.
Right.
But, you know, it's each to their own is basically what it is. So.
Yeah. A lot of times people will get comfortable with a person and that's all they know. So they want to stick with that. And that's why I think there's a lot of business to be had out there. I think a lot of people get really, I don't know, freaked out about not being able to have enough business to be able to feed themselves. And I'm like, no, there's a bunch of people out there that will like you for you, and you will do the job that they want you to do in a manner that will be helpful to them. And so they'll keep coming back to you because of that.
Exactly.
And I think that's a good problem to have. Now, that's for some people. Now, other people, they want to be managers of the business. They want to go out there and they want to have employees. Now, from my standpoint, there's headaches on both sides. So you have to pick what type of business you want to do ahead of time. And I tell people all the time, don't necessarily, because you see somebody else doing something, don't necessarily mm-hmm. follow that. Follow what's good for you.
Right. Right, exactly. And it was like one of the things you talked about, you know, one of your past episodes, you know, do what you're best at.
Right.
You know, don't always try to take on everything. You know, I know what my limitations are and I don't go beyond my limitations. I'm always willing to learn more about software. You know, I'm always reading up on the newest stuff about any kind of, you know, umpteen thousand versions of CryptoLocker that are out there and stuff, you know, and, you know, I read up on stuff like that. I keep on, you know, I try to keep abreast of those. But I don't do stuff that I'm not comfortable with. I have a lot of folks that come in here and they say, hey, can you fix my phone? Hey, can you fix my tablet? I was like, physically on the hardware part? No. But if you want me to check it out software-wise, yes, then I'll look at it. You know, and just recently, in the last few months, I've really been getting into working on Apples for folks. Okay. And I've been seeing a lot of Apples coming in with a lot of malware. And I'll go through and I'll clean it up. Malwarebytes works great for that aspect. And gets that Apple machine running so much quicker. And, you know, I'm still learning things about it. I don't do a lot of hardware. I don't know what it is with Apple. I don't know if they just have some kind of a sixth sense of humor, but everything's got to be tape. You got to have the hand the size of a credit card to fit it into spaces to try to pull something out. And it just doesn't work for me because I got large hands. So I stay away from the hardware aspect, but a lot of it is just cleaning it, updating it. I'll update the operating system for them, you know, things like that. And I've had clients that have been happy about it. So that way they don't have to go to Minneapolis. They don't have to drive way out of their way to go to an Apple outlet store to get things done and get charged twice the amount of money or whatever it might be. So,
it, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. I still am amazed today how people will get laptops fixed that are 3, 4, sometimes 5 or more years old. I'm like, why not just get it for what you're going to pay me? You could add a few $100s to that and go get a decent mid-range laptop, you know? But sometimes people are like, no, I want to do this. Now, as far as desktops are easy because there's so many components in there and they're easy to swap out. Hey, I got a bad video card. Hey, I got a bad CPU. Hey, I got a bad whatever. And for the most part, even if you have to do a motherboard swap, those are fairly easy.
Oh, piece of cake, yeah.
And so obviously if you're not doing the laptops and stuff like that or not dealing with a whole lot of hardware, I can see where, because this is even a sore point for me, the things like screens and stuff like that, it just takes so long to get that stuff off. Now, I did just read an article the other day that somebody was talking about, and I can't remember if iFixit has this. I'm going to have to look it up. But basically, there is because I've got the heating pads that are like, I don't know, they look like long sausages, I guess.
Oh, okay.
You heat up in a microwave and you can lay it on the edge of the screen and you can start prying the screen up. Well, apparently they have a big enough one that will fit on an Apple iPad mini. You can put the whole heat pad on there. And I think this guy came up with a way to basically pull it apart. I think what he did was he put duct tape or something of that type over the screen, then put the heat pad on there, and he's basically able, even if the screen is cracked into a million pieces, he is able to pull that screen straight off of that and replace like within a few minutes.
Nice.
So I think if we keep going this way with the touch screens and all that kind of stuff and having replaced the glass, maybe there will be other ways that we actually try to fix these things because they're not going away.
Exactly. And I have a lot of folks, you know, like you said in the past, you know, you got people that just, they love that one machine. They got to have that one machine. It doesn't matter if it's 7, 8 years old and it's the thickness of a, you know, library book, whatever, you know, some big encyclopedia kind of thing. You know, I see people coming in with dinosaurs.
Right.
And, you know, they just don't want to give them up. And they're like, well, you know, this one laptop runs this one program and I can't get this program anymore. And it only runs an XP. So I got to have this machine. So you got to get it running. You know, it's like, well, you know, I'll try to find the parts for you, but I'm not going to guarantee you anything, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I'm usually pretty upfront about that with most clients. You know, if they have an issue with their old laptop and they're looking to, you know, get parts replaced on it, and I'll just tell them upfront, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of the stuff isn't supported after a couple of years. It's just done.
Right.
And I said, most times, you know, when you start hitting that 4-year mark, you know, when it gets 4 to 5 years, I push the same thing where I'm like, you know, you really should look at replacing this. You're running Vista. Vista's not going to be supported next year. You know, let's get away from this. Let's get you into something newer. You know, I think you'll be a lot happier. I'll get your data transfer over. You know, I'll do the things you need to have done. And, you know, most folks are happy. Other folks have a sour taste in their mouth with Windows 10 because Windows 10 installed itself on their computer one morning and they woke up and they didn't know what was happening. So they bring it into me and I have wound up taking that off and putting their old system back on because they didn't want it.
Okay.
So, you know, which brings me another thing is that, you know, with my shop, because Pantheon is the one that supplies me with everything that I have for computers. So everything we carry is Lenovo. And I've been really impressed with them so far. I've been really happy with them. They do a great job with their warranties and stuff like that.
Okay.
So when I have that product, it works out great because they get it shipped to them, because they go through the distributors, and then they have one of the guys that comes down that does a service call for one of the medium-sized businesses, and they just drop the product off. So that's basically how I get my product, except for something that might be a special order, then it'll be drop shipped right to me, which is like a screen, like we were talking about, replacing a screen on a laptop.
Okay.
or batteries. You know, people come in and want to buy a battery for the laptop, you know. So something, you know, something like that, you know, works out really good. So, but yeah, I'm amazed how some people want to keep some of the older stuff. Some people will switch. If I talk to them in a manner, one of the things I have to catch myself is I got kind of a booming voice. So if I have a little old lady comes in and she's soft spoken and she's trying to be, you know, she's quiet. And if I talk to her like this, it's going to scare the poor lady.
Right.
So I got to kind of just drop my tone a little bit, you know, and kind of just soft spoken. And then usually it works out pretty good. And most people have been open minded. You know, I have a work computer on the front where I do all my sales and stuff. And I take care of making the invoices when people buy computers and pay for their services and stuff like that. And I'll show them what Windows 10 looks like. I'm like, hey, this is what it looks like, you know, and they kind of get that look in their eye like, oh, this is really weird. This is not something I'm not used to, you know, but I always try to do something different for them. I don't know. I'm sure you probably used it before. Maybe you haven't, but there's one out there called Classic Shell, and it changes the start menu. And if I use that for some folks on 10, they don't have a problem with it because it represents Windows 7 in a way, or XP, that they're more than happy. And then they're fine because it's just that one start menu that makes it easy for them to use that computer. So
I guess I've had a little bit different things with that. Number one, I've had so many problems with Classic Shell in the past. It would break things like people would go to launch their iTunes and iTunes not launching. It's like, okay, that's great. We can update the Classic Shell and we'll update whatever operating system you're on, Windows 8, Windows 10, and everything will work fine. But in the meantime, a lot of times that will break some certain things. So I was using back in the day, back in Windows 8, I was using Start 8. And it was a paid for program. It was $5. But it worked. It updated itself. I didn't have to ever worry about it. And it worked just fine. The thing is, I don't like having that extra layer of stuff on there because a lot of times to me, it seems like it causes more problems and makes my job that much harder. So a lot of times what I'll do is, and I've done this, I've moved people that are 60, 70, 80 years old from XP to Windows 8, Windows 10. And with about a 5-minute tutorial with them, they can do what they need to do. What I'll usually do is they can get online, and what I'll do is I will set their browser up with some of their favorite pages that they like to go to. So they don't have to sit there and try to find all that stuff. And then the other thing is I will set their email up and either make a tab in their browser for that or use a separate program, but usually go to outlook.com or something like that. And they can do whatever they need to do without actually touching any of the menus really. And then I'll show them a couple of the shortcuts. I'm like, here, if you want your classic menus that you're used to, if you right-click on the start menu, it'll give you your control panel, all this stuff that you would actually need to use that you're familiar with in the past. And if you want to find your programs, you just hit the Windows key on your keyboard. And here, with your failing eyesight, is all these big icons that you can actually see. Right. Instead of the tiny little list that Windows 7 and the OSs before that had, where you're looking through all these different programs and going, what was the name of that thing? So that's what I've done for my customer base. And they seem to be fine with that. Less than 10 minutes for sure. But most of the time, a 5-minute tutorial and they're on their way and have been that way for the last year and a half, 2 years. Okay. Since I've been doing that from Windows 8 and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know some folks, you know, just because they read something on the internet or a friend of theirs went out and bought it and it was just god awful to them. So to them, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be god awful.
Right.
You know, and I'll have people, you know, it's funny because transition is hard for some folks. Some folks cannot accept change and it's just the way it is. And, you know, they come out of Windows 7 and Windows 8 came out. Some people loved it. Some people didn't like it. And me, I didn't like Windows 8. But when 8.1 came out, man, I loved Windows 8.1. Right. And people look at me and do like, you like Windows 8.1? I'm like, I love it, man. There's all kinds of stuff I can do in it that I couldn't even do in 10.
Yep.
But that's just me. I really like 8.1. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that got to 10. They're like, I don't like it. Put Windows 8.1 back on there. I'm like, you know, there's really not much of a difference, right? except for the start menu. So I kind of point out to them and I kind of help them out, you know, so they're a little bit understanding and they get kind of past that stress point that they were having. And I explain stuff to them and stuff like that. Usually most folks are pretty good. But with the folks that are not accepting change and they don't like the way Windows 10 looks and stuff like that, I try to help them out as much as I can, you know, kind of like you do. But it's only for the folks that are really kind of hard-nosed about stuff where I put that, you know, classic right. show on there. And most times I've had good luck. I haven't had the issue where it broke something, good. You know, 6 months down the road or something like that. They did something to goof something up anyway. And the start menu don't want to work.
Right.
I was like, oh, all right, bring it in. I'll take a look at it. Let me see what I can do for you, you know? So.
Now, I'm probably one of those weird people. I loved 8.1 so much that when Windows 10 came out, the first thing I did was change the Windows 10 start menu and turned it back to basically the Windows 8.1 where I can, because again, even on a 30-inch screen, I can hit my Windows key. All my icons pop up in front of me. I put my favorites where I want them in little groups. And I, within milliseconds, I'm clicking on different programs to get them started. And then obviously the ones that didn't, this goes way back. The ones that right. I use every day are in my taskbar at the bottom anyway. So,
yep.
But yeah, once I was able to do that, I've had no issues with Windows 8 or Windows 10.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've been really good. It took me a little while, you know, for me to kind to warm up to Windows 8. But when, like I said, when 8.1 came out, then I warmed up a lot more. They made great improvements in 8.1 over the first one.
Well, we're our own worst enemies, right? Nobody likes change. So, and as technicians, even though we like the latest and greatest, boy, when somebody gets in there and stirs up your soup, you're kind of like, hey, you just messed my soup up. I didn't want crackers in there. Don't do that to my, leave it the way right. it's been for the last 20 years. That's what I want.
yep, exactly. One of the things I had to do when I first, you know, I did the beta testing preview for Windows 10
okay.
the year before it was released.
Yep.
So I was sending Microsoft all kinds of information. I don't like this. This doesn't work. This is broke. I'm sure you heard it a million times, but here it is again.
Right.
So, you know, I'd let them all know this information and stuff. So by the time it was released and it was running somewhat stable, you know, there'd be things I'd be pointing out like, hey, did you know on a fresh install, the restore points is turned off? I think you guys might want to fix that point.
Right.
You know, little things like that, because I see a lot of people would come in and Windows 10 wasn't booting because they were upgrading from Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 or whatever it might have been. And for whatever reason, restore points was not on and the whole thing just got goofed up. Nothing was working right.
Right.
And I had to go through the process of having to back up their data and reload the operating system and everything else. So especially when they have little mistakes, like if the start menu stopped working, and sometimes you can go back to a restore point to the point when they say, hey, it was working this day, but then it just stopped working for whatever reason. I go back to that restore point and I can get something working and I fix some things that don't belong, you know, things like that. But yeah, during that first and second iteration, for some reason, I don't know why, but a lot of them I seen with the restore points off and I kept turning that on. I was like, you guys need that. That's really important to have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that saves us a lot of time and effort if we have to go back to before the customer actually messed the machine up.
Right, right, right. And the other thing I love, too, is one of the things I tested in Windows 10 right away is like in Windows 8.1, you know, the great thing about 8.1 is you could put, you know, like let's say you just did a fresh install and you got their software installed, you got their data moved over, everything's running fantastic, and you can make your own refresh. You know, you can make your own little refresh, you know, image. And that's what it's going to fall back on if you decide to reset or refresh the machine. Then it goes back and it puts everything back in the one spot when everything was running fantastic. It's almost like it just made an image of the drive. And it was awesome. You leave it right there at the root of the C drive, and Windows will see it right away when you want to do that refresh. Windows 10, they took that away.
Yeah, and I remember actually manually setting some of that stuff up back in the Windows XP days where I would make a basically a copyable image because, you know, for whatever reason, I put a vanilla, you know, operating system with the Windows XP because the customer didn't have his recovery disk or whatever. And yep. So redid the system, made an image so that he could, if he had to, he could basically hit a button and it would go and back to that image and it would work perfectly fine from the time that I gave it to him. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Windows 10 has been, I like it for the most part, but yeah, there are some weird, quirky things. And I think it's just going through the paces, getting all that stuff worked out. Eventually, we'll get to the point where people will stop complaining and go, hey, this actually does work pretty good. And I actually do like it.
Right, right. And it's been getting more and more stable. I mean, it's nothing like the debacle that Vista was. So, that was kind of a...
Vista had one glaring problem. In this, again, I bring it back to us. We were the problem, okay? Because we wanted to buy such cheap computers, we did not have the horsepower to be able to run Vista at the time. And to me, that's a shame because I ran Vista. I had Vista Ultimate, and it ran perfectly fine. I never had an issue with Vista whatsoever. But I also had a home-built machine, which was running a lot better than a Dell, HP, whatever. And so a lot of times that becomes a problem. If I'm buying a cheap computer, I'm going to get a cheap computing experience.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, it's just like, you know, it's the old saying, you know, when people come in, they're looking for a computer. Every area is different. Every city is different. Every region is different.
Right.
You have people that are willing to spend a certain amount of money to have a repair or buy a computer, whatever it might be. So you got the folks, without supporting them, I'll just call them Wally World. And they'll go out there and they'll buy a computer and they'll come back. And 2 weeks later, they bring it in like, you know, this thing's running really slow. And I just bought it, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And I only spent $300 on it. I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, that was the first mistake.
Right.
And I'm looking at him like, oh, okay, all right, well, you got 3 gigs of RAM and you get a 1.5 gigahertz processor. Well, I can see all kinds of problems you're having here, you know?
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people don't know that. They don't look at the specs. They look at the price.
Exactly.
And that's one of the issues, you know, when people come in here and they say, well, you're a lot more expensive than Wally World. I'm like, well, you know, I'm having a mid-range computer. It's a really good product. I stand by what I sell. I said, if you ever have questions, you know you can always give me a call. I'll take care of whatever needs that you have. And some folks, you know, they want to figure out how to get the one they bought to go faster. And I'm like, well, you're limited because this is why. This is what you buy.
Right.
This is what you have. So some folks don't get that. Some folks usually don't want to pay a little bit higher price, like a shop like mine, because, you know, I carry inventory. That's one of the main things. And with me, when I get the transition of being a business owner, I won't carry as much overhead because to me, it won't be necessary since it'll just be me and I'm just kind of condensing everything. But right now it's convenient to have that stuff. You know, a place walks in, they want Ethernet cable. Hey, I got all kinds of Ethernet cable. I got all kinds of length. What do you need? I can set you up right now. You know, I got switches. I got everything. You know, this is the main reason why Pantheon has a lot of the stuff here. So when their techs come into town, they don't have it. They can stop here, pick it up, take off, go do their job.
Okay.
So, you know, it works out really good. I get to see some of the other coworkers every so often. But, you know, I have my own branding. We just rebranded the PC Doctor name. There was an older style of it before, about a year ago. And then we rebranded it. And the owner, John, had sent it in. And what he did is he had some people create the image through one of the websites. And then he had five of them. And then he was looking at them. And he wanted me to look at it. And we kind of voted. And then we picked the image that we have now for PC Doctor.
Okay.
And it worked out really good. So I like the look of it, you know, it's kind of eye catching.
Yeah. It's very sharp.
And then I got my own shirts, you know, I got my own thing because it's just me here and everybody else has got their shirts. You know, they got the Pantheon business name and stuff like that. So, but it works out really good. I really like the name, you know, that's the name I want to keep when I take the business over, because everybody knows this business here. It's been here in this town for 12 years and, you know, I've built a good reputation. So,
good.
You know, I want to keep that going, you know, to the point where I have to retire and, you know, if I sell it or whatever I got to do in the future. But right now, you know, I love working on computers. I love doing stuff like this. You know, it's always a challenge. You know, there's some days where I kind of bite my lip, you know, because there's something that's just racking my brain, you know, but you got to Google, do some Googling or, you know, check out things on YouTube or whatever it is. But, you know, I'll get to the point. And there's a lot of things where guys, especially the guys from Pantheon, most of them do the bigger work. They do server sides. And when it comes to servers, I don't know a thing about them. I'm clueless. But they know everything about it. They know everything about the big, you know, big networking because that's their whole focus for their medium large business. And if it comes down to they have a business computer that has viruses on it and it's here in town, they'll pick it up and they'll go, here, Kurt, do your magic, take care of it. You know, let them know when it's all ready to go. all right, cool. And then I take care of my part, get everything cleaned up. I get to bill them on my end, and then everything's good to go. So it works out pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good working scenario.
It works out really good. And we'll keep that relationship after I take over and become the business owner for PC Doctor. You know, I want to keep that relationship with them. And the owner and I talked about that, you know, where we want to still work together in certain things. So that'll be nice. That'll be a big plus. So
absolutely. No, that sounds great. I'll tell you, one of the things I think people talking about price and actually you having a shop and stuff like that and being a little more expensive than Wally World. I remember back in the day when, and you won't find a whole lot of these anymore, if any, but I remember back in the day when they had hobby shops. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like Hobby Lobby for crafts and all that kind of, I mean actual hobby shops where you could build remote control cars and airplanes and helicopters and rockets and play all kinds of...
In the corner was the D&D stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted D&D.
And what was really cool is I was flying planes at the time, and I would go into these hobby shops, and I could actually talk to a person. I go, hey, what's the best radio that I need for this particular plane, or what kind of package deal do you have? And you could bring your stuff in, and they would actually help you build it, help you put it together, and really take care of you from a customer service standpoint. Until places like Hobbyco and all these different online services came about, now everybody's just buying these cheap hobby, you know, electronics, RC, all this stuff. And basically they're not, you don't have that person to go to anymore. Well, when you have a shop or you have a business, even if it's home based, you are that go-to person that a company or a person can come to and actually get the right information instead of getting just, hey, here's what's on sale, or here's what the best deal is because they told me to say this. It's like, no, what do you need? Okay, here's what you need. Then this is going to be your best bang for the buck. And I really love putting that out there that I'm going to sell you your best bang for your buck because you don't need something super great, but you also don't need something low end. You need something right in the middle that you're going to be satisfied with for years to come.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because I have people come in here. One of my main things, and I've never been the type, I mean, I've been a salesman before, you know, I worked and came apart a long time ago and, you know, I was a salesman for the shotguns and the licenses and I got to talk to all the hunters, you know, so I learned how to talk to the client. So I don't try to oversell something to someone that doesn't need anything overly powerful. So the first thing I ask them is like, what do you want to use it for? Well, I want to do internet surfing. I want to do email. I want to look up recipes. Oh, okay. Well, you know, this computer will work great for you. So like the ones I carry on hand, just for instance, are i3s, i5s, and an i7. And I sell a lot of i3s.
Sure.
Because that's basically what a lot of people work perfect for. It's got the right amount of speed and power. It's not overkill for what they don't need it for. And they're really happy with it. So I sell a lot of those. And then I got a few folks that oh no, I need more than that. You know, so we'll go up to the i5 or somebody that thinks they're going to do the gaming, you know, they want the i7 one.
Right.
So, but otherwise, you know, most of the time I always try to find out, you know, if it's a business, how many applications are you going to run? You know, I have computers that I keep for residential folks. And then I have a business line of Lenovo, which is the more solid business model, has a Windows 7 Pro. Before Lenovo has to switch over to Windows 10. That's just what Microsoft's going to do to them.
Right.
But I have that option. They're more expensive. They have the option to buy, you know, a longer warranty. If it's a business, I always try to get them to buy the 3-year warranty on site. I was like, hey, this is the reason why you want this, how much it's going to cost. But in the long term, it's going to benefit you greatly because in 3 years, whatever goes out in the hardware, you don't have to worry about it. I'll have it back to you in 2 days and you'll be up and running with no downtime hardly at all.
Right. Boom.
It's the sell point and they're happy. So, you know, it works out really good for both sides, even though the majority of mine are all residential folks.
Okay.
But I do take care of some of the small businesses. A lot of them already know who I am from 5 years ago since I've been working under the PC Doctor name. So they trust me greatly. You know, they want to make sure they're getting what they need. And I always make sure they have exactly what they need. And then I ask them other questions if they need anything else. You know, if they need more RAM, you know, how many things you're going to be running? You're going to be running QuickBooks. You're going to be running out, you know, Office and all these other programs. Hey, you need something that has 8 gigs of RAM. You need an i5 processor. You know, this thing's going to run great for you by the time you get it back to the office. And they're most times they're always happy. They never had a complaint. So I've been really happy about that without having to try to oversell something right. that people didn't need. That's what makes me feel good. Yep. You know,
absolutely. So. And you can sleep good at night.
Exactly.
Well, let's switch gears here a little bit and let's talk about some of your favorite tools, software, hardware, a little bit of both. What are some of the things that you use that you absolutely just use on a daily basis or couldn't live without in your business?
Okay. One of them is one that you use, which is D7-2.
Okay.
I've been using that one for a long time. I was using D7 shortly after it came out in beta.
Okay.
And I was using that a lot. And I just loved what it could do. You know, I was just like, oh, this is great, you know. And, you know, me and another guy had partnered up and we spent the money at the time. It was like $100 for D7.
Right.
Hey, here's $50, you know, put your name on. I don't care. We're just going to use it in shop anyway. We're going to do this thing, you know. So it was working out really good that way. And then, of course, you know, Nick started running into walls with the programming and stuff like that. So then he went into D7-2 and we got that one. I've been happy with it. There are some functions of it that I kind of miss from the old one, which was original D7 had that malware section and it would look up for the out of place files, you know, things like that. And you could go through and delete things out that didn't need to be there. And he originally had that in D7-2, and then he switched it and put Defunk in there. And Defunk kind of just threw a chink in my chain. I'm like, eh, I don't like it as well. So I just didn't use it as much. But I use it for everything else. I added a lot of programs myself. So ones I love to do when I am doing malware. Malwarebytes, of course. I also use one that's like MCSoft Emergency, which does a great job.
Right.
Let's see, what else is there? Hitman Pro, of course, because it does such an awesome job. I've never had issues with it. Back in the day, when it was Windows 7, TDSS Killer. Had to use it every single time. I don't know how many rootkits I found in there and boot manager and everything else, all being infected and everything. And it did a great job of removing it without botching the partition. So it wouldn't stop booting up.
Right. Because
I don't know how many times I used Hitman Pro to do that one particular thing and boom, it wouldn't load anymore. And I'm like, uh-oh. Okay, now I got to call the client. I got to let them know what I got to do now. So TDSS Killer was awesome. I love what they have for their product for that, especially for the older stuff. Windows 8 and 10, don't have to worry about it because now it's a whole different boot process. So you don't have to worry about the MBR being infected. So that was a big plus. Once in a while, I use, you know, Super Anti-Spyware, but I don't use that one as much anymore now.
Right.
Okay. What was one of the other ones that I was using too? I use the ADW. I got to kind of keep an eye on it before I do anything. Once in a while, it will try to remove like a legitimate program, but not all the time.
Okay.
JRT, of course, you know, Malwarebytes owns both of them now, but JRT does an awesome job. I've never had an issue with JRT removing something that it shouldn't remove. So I've been really lucky with that one. Let's see. I thought there was another one that I was using, but maybe not. It's basically those. And then I'll run like Sophos, for antivirus and I'll run that in the background. Another one that I use every so often is, Dr. Web Curate, which is a Russian based one. It does a really good job of picking up some, you know, abnormalities that normally you wouldn't think they were there and it would find it. And then you can just read the file to make sure it's something legitimate and then delete it if you had to, or, you know, quarantine it. So those are the main ones that I use and I've always had good luck with them. Otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much the main ones.
Okay.
For anything that has to do with malware or viruses or anything like that.
Yeah, that kind of hits from all areas there. So
that's good.
Right. Now, CCleaner?
Yeah, CCleaner, I've been using that, oh man, for years. Love what they did with that product. I have the free version, of course, that I use. But I always use the portable version. It does a fantastic job. It cleans up stuff really good. Every so often, I'll run it just, you know, for the registry cleanup. And it does pretty good. I haven't seen it do anything that really goofed with the registry at all. So CCleaner is a really good one. I just had another one that popped in my head and it popped just that quick. I can't remember what it was. It'll probably come back to me.
So, well, it's funny because I just used CCleaner the other day on my personal machine. And yeah, I was I was having a browser issue, and it was something to do with podcasts that wasn't working. And so I said, all right, let me clear out my cache and all that kind of stuff, and we'll get it cleared out. And let me just see if this will clear out anything that might be sticking or gumming up the works. And so I ran it. I can't, this machine's only been running for probably about a little over a year, I think. No, not even that. Not even a year. And it's because I built it earlier this year. But basically, I had 4.5 gigs of just cruft in the system. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of stuff. I haven't seen that in my personal system in a long time. So I'm constantly uninstalling, installing things, moving stuff around. So I can see how it would happen, but it was a short period of time and 4.5 gigs.
here's a question for you, Jeff. What is the largest amount of temp files that you've removed from a client's computer, just out of curiosity?
I wish I would have wrote it down, because I want to say that the most I've ever seen was like, I want to say like 32 gigs.
Really?
Okay. And that was only on one system, and it was an older system that had been used for a long, long time. But I want to say it was well over 20. I know that for sure. But 32 sticks in my mind for some reason.
Okay. Yeah. This isn't any way to be like a competition or anything, Jeff. But the largest one that I ever ran across was 2 years ago. And I was doing an optimization for a lady, getting everything cleaned up, getting it running. And she's complaining that she was always out of space. So I let CCleaner run. And it had run for several hours. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave the shop. I'm going to go to lunch. I went to lunch. It was gone for an hour. I come back. It's still running. By the time it was like 5.5, 6 hours gone by, it had deleted 99.8 gigabytes of temp files that were built there.
Oh, my God. That is by far the largest one I've heard of to date.
Just absolutely insane. I couldn't believe that it actually existed, but I was just like, wow.
Wow. That is amazing. You know, sometimes because they do the numbers in megabytes, right? I'll take that number and I double check it on Google I'll take the transfer from megabytes to gigabytes, because I'm like, I don't want to overspeak something unless I know for sure. And so, yeah, wow. That is amazing. Wow.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, the last one I had last week, I had one that I did, and that was like, 67 some gigabytes of free space that I opened up just from temp files. And I'm just like, okay, I put CCleaner on your desktop. This is how you run it. Run it once a week.
Now, I stopped putting CCleaner, or stopped leaving it on the system, because now they do that thing where it runs in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and I can't remember when I don't know if that started this year or late last year, but so a lot of times, the only things that I see on people's systems when they bring it to me, a lot of times will be malware bytes, because they hear a lot of good things about them. Now, here's a funny thing. They have malware bytes on there. It hasn't been updated in forever and hasn't been run. Mm-hmm. But it's sitting there on their desktop. It's awesome. It was installed at one point.
Right.
But other than that, I pretty much, everything else that I use for a cleanup or whatever, I basically pull off the system. I'm like, I don't need you messing with any of this stuff.
right, exactly. Because
you're probably not going to anyway, so I'm really not helping you at all, even though I want to help you, but you're not going to listen to me.
Yeah. I mean, some folks are going to choose whether they're going to still use that program. You know, I don't do it for everyone, but I have some clients that are just, they're kind of hard-headed about things.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, you really need to do this, because I don't know what you do with this thing, but it's always plugged up all the time.
Okay.
So it'd be a good idea for you to run this program. I'm going to put this program on here, and you run this once a week. You know, I don't know whether they do or not.
Right.
But I've seen old versions of old CCleaner from 3 years ago that someone had sitting on there and it never got used. Same thing with Malwarebytes. Old version of Malwarebytes that was never used because they just didn't touch it.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, I see a lot of folks with stuff like that. I see a lot of folks now, too, that are using like the old Microsoft Security Essentials. Okay. Which was on like Windows 7. That was a big one I used to use back in the day, quite a few years back. It used to do a really, really good job. I don't think it's as good as now. The one that's built into Windows 8 and 10, especially 10, I think does a lot better now versus the older one.
Yeah.
I know Microsoft had made an announcement years back that they weren't going to support the Microsoft Security Essentials very much anymore for the downloadable type. But they still offer it It's still there to download. People can still get it if they want it. But typically, if I see somebody with that, especially a business, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to do very good for you. I think we should get you into something better, you know, and then that's when I, you know, try to pitch them to some a better antivirus rather than Microsoft Security Essentials in a business environment.
So. Well, I think the difference between, and here's what I try to explain to people. If you're going to use a free antivirus, mm-hmm. you might as well just use the one from Microsoft, whether it be Security Essentials for Windows 7 and below, or mm-hmm. basically Windows 8 and above, use Windows Defender. But if you're in a business environment, you really need to use an internet security suite because yeah. basically your antivirus by itself, not being a layered approach, all it does is the viruses, right? Is not mm-hmm. going to get all the malware and stuff like that. So from a business standpoint, they could receive a lot of help from the internet security suites, I think.
Right, right. And I know, like, you know, on the side of Pantheon that takes care of most of the businesses, I believe they're doing like the Bitdefender okay. business edition.
Yep.
So that one works out really well. That I don't know. I might be tooting my own horn because I know my boss will want to hear this, you know, podcast after everything's all done. So, but, you know, I think they kind of went to that one because we used to use Symantec Endpoint Protection.
Okay.
And I used to offer that to the residential folks. Yeah, yeah. I used to offer it to the residential folks for a while. We did that for a year. Set up some kind of a program where, you know, it had monitoring and things like that. But it just, you know, it got to be a lot of work for the ladies, for the paperwork and stuff. So eventually we pulled that out. And I just went with the Bitdefender for residential folks. And most folks have been really good luck with it. I've been using Bitdefender myself personally for several years. And I've been happy with it, even though I really don't need it because I don't do anything with a computer when I go home. By the time I leave here, I'm done. I don't touch a computer. I go home and I'll do something else.
Gotcha.
But Bitdefender's work really good. So that's the one and only one that I offer here. I always give people the option, what they want to do, you know, because I'll tell them, they go, well, doesn't Windows 10 have one? I'm like, yeah, it has one. You know, if you're a basic surfer or whatever, you know, you need it for basic things. Hey, it'll do good for you. If that's what you want to use, fantastic, you know. And, you know, some folks are happy with that. You know, other folks don't want to spend that extra little $30, $40, you know, for an antivirus. So, but, you know, it works out good. I have options for people, so they have a choice. I don't like doing anything where I try to push something onto someone or try to strong arm them. It doesn't work. It scares the client. You know, it's just not a cool way to do it.
Right.
So I always try to leave options open so people can just make their own decisions on what they would like to do. Therefore, they leave my shop happy. They're content, and they're going to come back when they have questions or they need more work done. So.
Yeah, and I think Bitdefender, if there's any problems with Bitdefender, its firewall is a little overly aggressive. But other than that, if you turn that off, and my understanding is the business endpoint protection from Bitdefender is slightly different than the residential version that they have out there. So,
right,
and I've heard a lot of good things about it, and that it works really well. So that's definitely probably the way to go. I have no problems with any of the antiviruses out there. They're all doing about the same things. I think now I had probably, what was it, earlier this year, I had somebody that had, because a lot of times with your Comcast subscription or, you know, whatever your ISP is, mm-hmm. you'll get Norton, McAfee, whatever their flavor of the month is. So I had somebody that actually in this particular case, I think they actually bought a package of Norton, and that's just what they run on their system. So it was the full Norton Internet Security Suite.
Mm-hmm.
They got an infection, and Norton spent 6 hours on their computer with them trying to get rid of trying to figure out why this computer was so slow.
Jeez.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I don't know if they went to level 2 or level 3 or whatever. So they call me. I go in there, run my gamut of tools at it, and look at it. And I found this obscure actual virus that you had to have a specific remover to get it out of there unless you wanted to go in the registry and do it by hand. But once I found it, I go, oh, I see what's going on. I removed it and they go, wow, this works so much better. And I'm like, going in, Norton spent how long with you on the phone? And it took me like 10 minutes and I got rid of the one virus that everything else was clean. Everything else was perfectly fine. Just that one obscure virus that was I can't remember the name of it, but it was an older version one. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, sometimes it's just taking a step back. You know, unfortunately for these companies, they're just going through a script. They're following through with what they know or what they've been taught. And so I don't know that they're allowed to think outside the box, I guess.
Yeah. They all have to file, they got that little piece of paper in front of them and it's got the troubleshooting steps or whatever it's got to be, so they're going to follow that rather than trying to go outside the box, like, say. So, it's funny how some of these companies do it because, like I said before, we were dealing with, you got these guys that are cold calling people and, they're telling them there's things wrong with the computer. And I had a lot of clients that fell for it, a lot of clients. And they're just like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm like, okay, here's the steps you need to take, because you already gave them the credit card information.
Right.
So I give them all the steps on what they need to contact their bank and contact the credit card company and start changing passwords, all this stuff, and bring your computer in so I can go through and get rid of the stuff that either they planted or already made changes to.
Right.
And I always find something. It just never fails.
Oh, yeah.
And I get all that stuff cleaned out of there. And by the time they're done, they're really happy and they feel foolish, and, I try to get them, to feel a little bit better about themselves without feeling too down. Cause some folks take it really hard, and I've had ladies come in here and they're crying, and I've had guys come out here cursing like a sailor and they're just angry and they're pounding their fists on the desk. I'm just like, okay, let's take it easy here for a moment. Let me try to help you out here. So,
The problem is it looks so legit, and what it does is it tugs on the heartstrings of the emotions of people, and people will see that pop up or they'll get that call and go, hey, your computer's infected. And they just go, oh my gosh, I need to get this taken care of. It's that urgency instead of their mind really is not comprehending what's being said. They're just like, I need to fix this. I need to fix this. And you feel bad for those people because it's not their fault.
Exactly.
It's these criminals that put that emotional heartstring out there that tug on it and say, we got you. And I'm, it's not going to slow down at all, unfortunately.
No, it's going to keep going. That's worse more than viruses. I remember, you remember 4 years ago, I would say up until about a year ago, year and a half ago, from that point back, I'd see a lot of different viruses, a lot of fake antiviruses.
Right.
I'd see a lot of these other ones that come in. That would goof up your internet connection and just completely cut off. I forgot what it was called off the top of my head. There's just all these really weird ones that came out. FBI virus.
Oh, yeah. Was
popular. and I'd have people come in and they just blatantly outright tell me, hey, I was surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it was. Yep. Midget porn. And I got this thing on here. And could you clean it up? All right. Okay. Thank you for letting me know where you got it from. All right. I'll get it taken care of. But I'd get it all cleaned up. Some of them got worse, of course. And that's where Hitman Pro really stepped up and did a great job where you can make a bootable flash drive with Hitman Pro.
Right.
And get rid of that. And it just worked awesome. I was like, oh, thank God for Hitman Pro.
Yes. It saved that. Either that or I used to use the, when Hitman Pro wouldn't work, I'd use the Kaspersky Rescue Disk.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Now, the problem with that is it would take quite a bit longer than Hitman Pro did. So,
because you got to download everything and then you got to let it run.
Plus, it was on a CD. So, now every once in a while, though, you can't get USB keys to work. And so, I still have my books of CDs left, even though I don't use them a whole lot. Every once in a while, I got to whip one out.
Oh, okay.
So,
yep. Because I know some of those guys. Will lock people out of their computers.
Yes.
Putting up those little encrypted passwords, the 4 digits or whatever it might be. And then that's just a headache.
Yep.
They're like, I don't know what happened. I didn't do it. I was like, did you let someone log into your computer? Well, yeah, because they told me there was something wrong with my computer. I'm like, did they say they were Microsoft or Windows? They're like, yeah, that's who it was. I'm like, they'll never call you.
Hopefully the message will get out there and people will stop falling for that. But right now, I even have long-term customers that they let them on their computer. they let them clean it up, and then they'll call me afterwards and go, I know I shouldn't have done this, but they got me. And I'm like, okay, here's what we got to do. And you go in and fix the problem. But yeah, yep. It's not fun to have those conversations because you feel bad.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where I'm always trying to get folks to, you know, I try to get them to relax a little bit and, you know, kind of change their mood a little bit, try to get them to feel a little bit better and stuff. Let them know that, you know, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to do everything I can to get that thing running great, running right, make sure everything's cleaned up, you know, and then I'll give them a little bit of education on what to do and what not to do next time. And the next time it happens, this is what you should do.
Hang up. Yep.
Don't talk to them.
you know, it's funny too. And I've been doing this for so long that when I've had a cell phone, I've been cell phone only since 1999.
Okay.
Yep. And so my wife had a cell phone. I had a cell phone. And mostly back in that day, it was because I didn't want to take her calls. She didn't want to take mine. So it was nice to have the separation. Right.
Right.
And one of the things I've done over time is I have groups and I tell people all the time, listen, I don't care if you call me. That's fine. If you're not in my address book on my phone, it will not get answered. You can leave a message and I'll call you back. But I said, most of the calls, I just do not answer anymore because a lot of it's sales calls and this and that and the other. So it's surprising that people will still answer every single call, even if it's coming on their cell phone. They just answer it. I'm like, what are you answering it for? You can choose what ones to answer and what ones not to answer.
Exactly.
And I had the old ringtone for basically phone calls that I know I'm not going to pull my phone out of my pocket and take.
Yep. Exactly.
I wish we could teach people to actually do that. Listen, if they're not in your address book, don't answer the phone.
It's like, if I see a phone number and there's not a 9 tied to it, I am not answering that thing. I just shut the ringer off.
Yep. Absolutely. Oh, well, Kurt, this has been great. And you've shared a lot of great information, a lot of good tips out there that I think people can really use. I think if you want to let everybody know, basically, if they want to get more information from you, get in contact with you, what would be the best way to do that?
They can reach me at Kurt@mnpcdoctor.com. MN is abbreviation for Minnesota. Website, the same thing, is www.mnpcdoctor.com. Those are the two best ways. I do have one on Facebook also. If they look on there for Facebook, it'll be MNPC Doctor. I post ads on there for folks. Sometimes we have little tidbits of information for folks too, if they want to read up and they just like our page or whatever it might be, and they might get a little bit of info saying, hey, look out, there's a new kind of bug out or whatever it might be, or if your computer's running slow, bring it in. I'll be glad to take a look at it, things like that. So.
Awesome. And we'll have those links in the show notes so people can click on them. Well, I appreciate you coming out and sharing with us. It's been awesome, like I said.
Yeah, it's been really good. So, we got to definitely do this again sometime, even if it's on the other show that you're having too, for the Repair Tech Daily. So that'd be
absolutely fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to you guys.
That would be awesome. All right. You guys can find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to guest@podnuts.com, just like Kurt was. I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. And don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping on Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. Puts a little change in the pockets of the Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.